say that. 1 Timothy chapter 1, if you would, 1 Timothy chapter 1.
1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 and 13 says this, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to stand in this pulpit. And Lord, I just count it a great privilege, and I ask that you would just help me today to share the message that you put on my heart. Lord, I just want to give something quick and just profitable. And then, Lord, just look forward to enjoying what these other men have to say today. Thank you for this pastor and this church being willing to host this meeting. Lord, I pray that you just use all that's said and done today to bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, there, verse 12, "I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." I think about this passage often just because I can relate to Paul in the regard of, I'm thankful that God would see fit to put me in the ministry. I'll be honest, I don't know if there's anything else that I could ever want to do. I have some things that I enjoy, but honestly, to say, well, I could spend my life doing something else other than being in the ministry, I just couldn't see it. And I'm thankful for that privilege that God has given to me. I think about in this passage, as we look at it, he says, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord." And of course it is the Lord Jesus Christ who calls us, who has given us that opportunity. Whether you are already in the ministry full time, maybe you're part time, whether you're a college student, whatever you might be, as you have opportunity to serve, as you have opportunity to minister, let's never forget who called us and who gives us the opportunity to minister. It is for the Lord Jesus Christ that we minister. It goes on to say, of course, that who hath enabled me. Anybody in here ever feel that you're unqualified? Yeah. If you didn't, it's probably because you're either sleeping and haven't heard what I said, or maybe you got an issue of pride eventually, or maybe you're just plain old ignorant so far. Been there, done that. And let's be honest. In ourselves, I don't care what talents, I don't care what gifts you have. And honestly, those came from the Lord, obviously. But if it's not for the Lord and His working, we'd all be flops. He enables us to be able to do this. He enables, I love the fact that it doesn't matter what you are like, God knows what you're like, and God knows exactly where He needs you to be, and He puts you right where you ought to be. Yeah, I think about different missionaries. This week, a missionary friend of mine on social media had mentioned something. He said he was talking about how there was somebody in their church that talked about how they really enjoyed how, well, it was the daughter of the church, that they really enjoyed when they would come to visit how animated he was. Now, the reality is he's not animated at all. But in that culture, anybody who would be animated or would walk around it, they would, oh man, what's going on here? And yet, he said, I'm not animated at all. And yet, God put me right where I need to be, that if I happen to just speak up a little bit, they think, man, that preacher's on fire. just think about how God enables us and how He equips us. And it goes on, of course, in this passage to say, just again, just an introduction here, it says, they counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. Now, obviously, God knows what we have done, and God knows what we will do, but it requires faithfulness. Faithfulness. It's almost cliche to say it, but I'd rather have somebody who's faithful than somebody who's talented. I'd rather have somebody who's faithful than somebody who has all the great gifts and abilities. I like music, most of you know that, and working with different choirs and things like that, and I've had some folks in churches that, I mean, they were good singers, but they didn't necessarily feel like they needed to lower themselves to be in like the choir and things like that. Or they would bless the choir by showing up every once in a while. You ever met anybody like that? Yeah. You know, I don't care what the quality of the voice is. I'd rather have somebody who sits, as we have a lady in our church right now. She's 78 years old, and she uses a walker, and Thelma Miller. And she'll come. About 3 years ago, she said, "Pastor, I don't know if I can keep singing in the choir." I said, "Well, why not?" She said, "I have a hard time standing there for the songs. We just sing a couple songs every Sunday." And I said, "Well, why don't you just sit down?" I said, I'd rather have you come and sit there." She sits on the front row of the choir in the corner. "I'd rather have you sit there and sing out and smile and just praise the Lord than to have see you quit." And she said, "Really?" I said, "Thelma, I'd rather have you there faithfully. I'd rather have you there faithfully doing what you can." You know, God's going to allow us to be in the ministry because He hopefully can count us to be faithful. He goes on to talk about, just in that second verse that we read, verse 13, he says, we see who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. I thank God that obviously my background was not the same as what his was. But at the same time, I know who I am. And I know who I was. And you know who you are. And God knows who we all are. And yet he showed mercy and said, "I'll use you." Well, I'm thankful. I thank God that he allows me to be in the ministry. With that thought, I want to just talk about just very quickly. I've got, I don't know, 5-6 points, whatever it is, but I'm going to be fast. And I just want to talk about some things about this ministry that I'm thankful to be in, the ministry that we ought to be thankful to be in. May I say number one real quick? I'm going to try to go fast here. I have 20 minutes. If I preach in 20 minutes, don't tell my church because then they'll expect it every week. When I think about the ministry that I'm thankful to be in, I think about the fact that, first of all, it's a ministry to people. It's a ministry. Now, we minister for God, but we minister to people. It is so easy to get caught up in the business of that, in the activity of ministry, that we forget who it is that we have been called to minister to. Think about the Lord Jesus Christ and his earthly ministry, and how often he's going from point A to point B, and how often he gets stopped because there are people with needs. But what does he do? "Out of my way! Don't you know I'm bit?" No, what's he do? He stops and he heals people. He stops and he preaches to people. He stops and he talks to people. Even when the lady who comes and touches the hem of his garment, he stops and talks with her and makes and addresses her personally. People. People, people. Think about the Apostle Paul and his ministry. And we see town after town after town that he goes to, and he's dealing with people. Think about all the epistles they wrote. Say, "Well, he wrote those to the church." Yeah, church is made up of who? People. He wanted to make sure that people understood how they should live and what they ought to be. And he ministered to people. Listen, when we have opportunity, we have every single day of our life opportunity to minister to people. And we ought to be sure we are thankful for the fact that God has given us that opportunity to minister to people. The old joke is that ministry would be great if it wasn't for people. But if it's not for people, we have no ministry. We can sit in our office all day long and study and learn. But who cares what we know if we don't ever give it to anybody else and minister to people? We can have the greatest message in all the world, the gospel, but if we never share it with people, what's the point? What's the point? We have a ministry. Listen, I thank God that God has put me in the ministry. A ministry to people. Secondly, I think about this. I thank God that He's put me in the ministry. It's a ministry of preaching. A ministry of preaching up there in First or Second Timothy chapter 4, very familiar passage, I'm sure, to all of you. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead and is appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come," and we're here right now, "when the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts they shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto faith. tables. Think about how many times in the scriptures in Timothy, Titus, it talks about doctrine, sound doctrine, and the importance of preaching the Word of God. If ever there was a time, and I guess preachers say that, all the preachers have probably said that for 2,000 years. But it's true, I think, every generation, every 2,000 years. If ever there was a time for needing of the preaching of the words of God, it is today. We have, in society, obviously, there is such a ignorance of what the Word of God has to say. Such an ignorance of it. But the sad truth is this, in many of our own churches, in many churches that would be of like faith of what we are, churches who have the right Bible, churches who preach, who believe the right things, we have people in our own churches who do not understand the Scriptures because we don't have people just faithfully preaching the Word. Say, well, he's preaching to the men because we're, listen, any Sunday school, ladies, any Sunday school class you have, any opportunity you have to stand before a crowd of any kind, a ladies group, a teen group, Sunday school classes, bus, any time you have opportunity to share the Word of God, preach the Word. We know you're not going to be scheduled to preach here. If he schedules you to preach, we'll cancel the meeting. Amen. And I think we'd all be in agreement. If any of you accept the call to preach, we got to talk now. But you understand what I'm saying. Listen, the Bible tells us that we're to preach the gospel. That's we admit that's not just the guy who's standing up here, right? All of us ought to be preaching and teaching the Word of God. And we have the ministry beyond the walls of this building to preach. To preach. To tell the great truths of the gospel. To tell the great truths of Jesus Christ and who He is and what He's done. To tell the great need for holiness and righteousness and lives. The need for separation. I thank God that He's given us the ministry of preaching. Put me in the ministry of preaching. Let me give you another one. Think about this. We have the ministry of prayer. Ministry of prayer. Back in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23, the context here is that Israel is just about to, they're looking for a king. And they've rejected God, and God has told Samuel, don't worry, it's not that they rejected you, they've rejected me, and says, I'm going to give them Saul. And in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23, this is what Samuel says as he's talking to the people. He says, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. We have the ministry of prayer. If I were to ask you how many agree that we ought to have prayer as a key part of our ministry, I think everyone would raise their hand and say, amen, I agree. If I were to ask you to say, how many of you believe in the power of prayer and getting a hold of God and how God can use it, we would all agree. But the sad reality is this. The easiest and the quickest thing to go in our ministries is the ministry of prayer. Part of it is because of the battle of the flesh versus the spirit. And it's easy to just say, I've got other things I can do. Here's how we do it. Oh, man, I got a lot of things to do. Well, I can pray anywhere, so I'll pray later and while I go do these things now. And then later on you say, oh, wait. See, but I got a class that I got to get to this morning. I got a test I have to study for. So I'll get it after class. Oh, wait. Oh, man, something came up. I got to help my buddy with his car because it's a wreck and it's a mess. Now I got to go to work. Well, I'll get it when I come home. Well, I get home and, I forgot. I have that test tomorrow in that next class. Or me and my buddies, we started talking about, good doctrinal, discussions that happen in dorms. You know how it is. Lord, He'll understand. And how easy it is. And yet, may I say this? I mean, we need to pray ourselves. We need to pray, obviously, for wisdom and for guidance, for God's power in our ministries. But think about the prayer, the ministry of prayer to and for others. Every pastor in here has people in this church this week that are struggling. and their burdens are our burdens. And I wish I had the answer to every problem. Don't you wish that, Brother Shaq? I tell my folks all the time, I said, listen, I wish I could just snap my fingers and it'd be done and everything would be fixed. I don't have that power, but I know someone who does. But here's where we fail too often. And if you don't, praise God for it. But I know I've been guilty. Where we fail is we worry about, well, what can I do? How can I help that? What can I? And we fail to go to God and say, God, I really don't know what to do. Or God, I need your direction. God, I need, Lord, these people need to work, you to work in a supernatural way. I thank God that He's put me in the ministry, which includes ministry of prayer. Ministry of prayer. Whether it's whatever ministry you're in right now, I know we have folks in here that have a bus route, that work with the bus route. I know we have folks in here that have Sunday school classes. Obviously, we have pastors with folks in our church. You ought to take time regularly to pray over the names of those folks in your class or on your bus route or in your church. It's easy. Listen, it's easy for them just to sort of slip through the cracks. We ought to make sure we take time. That was number three, wasn't it? All right. Number four. Think about this. I thank God for putting me in the ministry. He's given me a ministry of preparation. Preparation. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Starting there in verse 11, here's what the Bible says. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. He says that those ministries there, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, and we know not all those are active offices today, but pastors, teachers, and it says it's for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, edifying the body of Christ. I thank God for the opportunity and for putting me in the ministry, a ministry of preparation. I love looking at somebody and saying, what can they become for God? And with that thought of mine, then I say, well, and what can I do to help them get there? You know, I think this is me. Every boy that comes into my church, I want to prepare them and train them and teach them to be a preacher. You mean you think every boy in your church is going to get called to preach? No, but if they do, I want them to be as ready as possible. I think we would all agree in this that if somebody is prepared and ready biblically, doctrinally, they understand practically how to serve, and God calls them to be a doctor, but they're a good Christian doctor who faithfully serves the Lord and is active in the church, I think we'd all be fine with that. If God says, listen, you're going to be a laborer, you're going to have a construction crew, whatever it might be, but they're faithful and they're serving God and they meet the qualifications of what a pastor would be, I'm fine with that. When I see young ladies that come into our church, I want to make sure I do everything I can that if God were to call them into some kind of ministry, that they're ready to go, that they're equipped to be the right kind of wives and the right kind of mothers, that they are going to be, that they can be equipped to be good Sunday school teachers and work in the ministries of the church as they're able to. I want to be able to prepare them for that. What a privilege it is. I'm talking to college professors and folks that have students sitting in here, and we understand the reality of that these young people did not come here just so they can say, well, I attended a building for a while and took some tests. We're here to prepare them for the ministry, and God has given me that privilege. I thank God for that. ministry of preparation. You say, well, what about me? I'm not a pastor. I promise you, God puts people in your life every single day. Every single day that you have opportunity to influence in some form or fashion to prepare them for a faithful life of ministry for Christ. Life of ministry. A ministry of preparation. I thank God, number five. I thank God for the privilege of being in the ministry, and He's given me a ministry of protection. Protection. Say, what do you mean, preacher? The pastor is referenced as a shepherd. I think about David as that shepherd. When he goes to face Goliath, what does he say are his credentials in essence? He says, well, listen, I can do this because God gave me victory, because when I was watching the sheep, both a lion and a bear came, and God gave me victory over them. Now, when I think about that story, it reminds me of the fact that there are a lot of enemies out there trying to get at my sheep. The devil, as a roaring lion, goes about seeking whom he may devour. Listen, there are plenty of false teachers that are preached against in the Bible. Wolves in sheep's clothing. God has given us, allowed us to be a part of a ministry of protection. There's a lot of garbage out there. A lot of garbage that is portrayed to be in the name of Christ. And there are helpless and ignorant, and when I say ignorant, I guess maybe a good Bible would be simple. Ignorant, just not understanding the situation. There are a lot of sheep out there that are falling prey. And I think it breaks every heart, the heart of every pastor or every teacher who has somebody that's a part of their, for lack of a better word, flock. Whether it's a bus route, a Sunday school class, a church, that has seen where one of those sheep has been snatched away. And we think, what could I have done to help them? What could I have done? I wish I could say that there's never been anybody who's been snatched away out of our ministry. But I'd be lying to you if I said that. I wish I could say that from now on we'll never have anybody. But my guess is that that's probably not the case either. But at the same time, I can purposely say, I want to do my very best to protect. So how do I protect them? By preaching and with the preparation, all those things we've already talked about. But I have an opportunity, a ministry of protection for that flock, for the flock of God. I thank God that He's called me into the ministry. Give me a ministry of protection. Let me give you one more. And I got 5 minutes. Man, whew. Miracles do still happen. Thank God for calling me in the ministry. He's given me a ministry of provocation. Hebrews 10:24, provocation. Hebrews 10:24 says this. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. We understand that to provoke oftentimes has that negative connotation. You know how it is. Like, I remember when me and my sisters were kids, and we'd be driving down the road, and you know how it is. And they're on my side. Or, Dad, he won't leave me alone. You know how it is. I'm not touching them. Now, that was my sisters. I was always the good one. I look at my kids. 5 kids the Lord's blessed us with. And boy, they know how to provoke one another. We look at provoking as oftentimes in that negative. But really, the idea to provoke is to call into action. To stir somebody into action. As a minister of Jesus Christ, somebody that God has seen fit to call me into the ministry and call you into the ministry, we have a ministry of provocation. Listen, there are all kinds of good works out there that we need to be doing. But I'll just say this, I am just like the folks in our church in many ways, that sometimes I need to be reminded, hey, you ought to be doing this. That's one of the reasons why we come to preachers' fellowships. Just be reminded, just be challenged, do a little bit more. But think about it. Listen, we need to have the ministry to be able to challenge folks. Get out there and reach people with the gospel and provoke them into action. To provoke them into action of living a godly life. To provoke them into action of trying to reach people. And so many, again, unto love and good works, to provoke them in the right spirit with one another. But a ministry of provocation. Preachers, if we don't do it, if we don't help to provoke in the right way our congregations to get out there and reach the world, we can only do so much. And I understand the idea and the thought of, listen, even if nobody else joins me, I'm going to get out there and do it. And we ought to have that spirit. But we also ought to take the bull by the horns and just say, but I need to teach them and encourage them and get them out there with me. You college students, you know why you're here? Because you had preachers and parents and teachers and church folks that provoked you to do more for Christ. And provoked you to be faithful to Christ so that way He could then say, hey, that's somebody that I'm ready to use. We have people in our churches that have such potential and could do some great things for God, and they just need somebody to remind them and say, hey, let's go. Let's do this. To put your arm around the shoulder and say, hey, come with me. Let's go do this. Let's do something for God. And we have the opportunity, a ministry of provocation. There's so many things we could... You know how it is, preachers. I could take and preach a whole series on every single one of these points. But this is what the Lord gave me last night as I was finalizing things. We have the privilege to have been called by Almighty God, despite who we really are without Him. And it is a high calling, the Bible calls it. The Bible references this vocation that we have, that we're called to, as a high calling, a holy calling, a heavenly calling. The ministry is, there's nothing on earth that compares to the work of the ministry. Let's be wise stewards of the ministry that He's called us to. Let's be thankful for it, but then let's minister as He wants us to people. By preaching, preparing, by praying, by protecting, and by provoking others to do the same in ministries in their life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the opportunity to preach. And Lord, just a simple thought today, and just something that I pray would just be an encouragement, just something to get us started, Lord, as we anticipate the good preaching from these other men. I pray, Lord, that You would help us to take these simple truths and just apply them, no matter where we're at, no matter what our ministry is, evangelist, pastor, missionary, layperson, college student, whatever we're at, Lord, that we would take seriously this great privilege that You called us into of ministry. Lord, bless the remainder of this service for Your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise.